It was a special child that was born that night, wasn't it? Not preaching on Christmas today, maybe next time. I've always felt that it was a shame that we limit to 2 or 3 weeks out of the year to sing all the beautiful Christmas songs. You know, we should celebrate the birth of Jesus every day of our lives. What a gift that is. I want to take just one more minute to emphasize the importance of supporting this concert next week, next Sabbath. These folks are basically volunteering their services. Those of you who were here for Michael Harris, he had a beautiful concert. We got some of his CDs and DVDs, and that was good. And Steve's going to make those available after the concert as well, some of his recorded songs. And we will also have some fellowship time and food, which always adds to any occasion. But I know that it's difficult sometimes to come out for church in the morning and then turn right around and come back in the evening. But the more support that we can give to these programs, whether it's the Fall Festival or I know that's not what it's supposed to be called. But I can't remember all that stuff. But anyway, when we have special programs for the church, please do all that you can to support, because that's going to make the difference in whether we are able to continue to schedule these things. Maybe we can get some of the same people to come back. I've already talked to Michael Harris, and he's agreed that he would be willing to come back again in the future and do another concert for us. So this is part of our worship and part of our fellowship. So what do you know this morning? Nothing. Okay, that's kind of what I thought might happen. The important thing is not what you know, but who you know. And that's why I selected the title that I did for this message. Some 50 years or so ago, when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I had more than one church member ask me after I joined, "Well, Tom, how does it feel now that you found the truth?" And I knew what they meant, and I, you know, accepted it in the spirit it was offered. And I was kind of shy, so I didn't really respond to that question. But I couldn't help but think, you know, I already knew some truth before I came to this church, and I plan on continuing to learn more truth the rest of my life. Sometimes we confuse what we know and what we learn instead of who we have come to know. Or is it whom? I'm not a grammar specialist, but you get the point. Really, it's important in this world, by this world's standards, it's important what we know. If you have a degree, that will impress some people. But when it comes to eternal salvation, and that's what I'm here today and every time that I get up before you, that's what I'm going to be emphasizing and focusing on, is our eternal salvation. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that what we're supposed to be sharing with others in the community? Sometimes we get confused about what we know, and we're not clear on who we know, because that's what makes the difference. That's what's going to get us to heaven, is not what we know, but who we know. Now, when Pastor Steve was here and had the prophecy seminar, we all learned from that, didn't we? We added some facts to the list, and those are good facts. There's nothing wrong. I'm not putting down knowledge or education. It's important. But in terms of your eternal salvation, in terms of getting to heaven, those facts are worthless. In our scripture reading this morning, Paul put it about as blunt as you can put it. He said, I count all that stuff, all that knowledge is garbage compared to Jesus Christ. It's not what you know, but who you know. Many have impressive achievements and university degrees to boast. I have only a loving Savior and a comforting Holy Ghost. Some have amassed great knowledge and brag of fortune and fame. My future is mine because of the gift and the power in Jesus' name. The world has much to offer, at least for a little while, but long after earth has vanished, I'll still be wearing a smile. Will it be short-lived recognition, looking down my nose at others, or will it be joyous eternity with my sisters and my brothers? It's not what I have to offer or what I know that will get me there, but rather it is who I know, the one who answers my prayer. It's not what I know, it's who I know. Philippians 3, starting with verse 7, says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Two kinds of knowledge, knowledge of facts or knowledge of Jesus Christ. But even the knowledge of Jesus Christ can be different for one person or another. Did you know that Satan believes in God? He doesn't doubt the existence of God, does he? But is that the knowledge that we're talking about that'll get us to heaven? It's not doing a very good job of getting Satan there, is it? He rebelled. He was cast out of heaven because of his disobedience and rebellion and leading that, losing a third of the angels from heaven. He must have been pretty persuasive, and he still is. He still can convince us sometimes, oh, come on, it won't really be like God said it would. You'll be okay. You won't surely die. God's just trying to keep you from having fun. Is that true? Is that the case? James 2, verse 19 from the King James Version says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Even the demons believe in Jesus, but they only believe in his existence. They don't believe in him in the sense of entrusting their eternal destination into his hands. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Is he your friend? What, have you ever stopped to think about what a privilege, what an amazing miracle that is, that the Creator of the universe wants to be called our friend? That's amazing to me. Jesus alone knows my heart and soul and what I'm feeling inside. With little concern for yesterdays, he walks each step by my side. Only always Jesus. Such a true and unwavering friend, but who but my loving Savior will stand by my side to the end? Not just on rare occasion, but each time my lips breathe His name. Such a loving and faithful companion, forever, always the same. Only, always Jesus. Such a true and unwavering friend, but who but my loving Savior will stand by my side to the end? Only my Lord has such faith in me, more than the dearest of men, always supplying my slightest need, forgiving my darkest sin. Only, always Jesus. Such a true and unwavering friend, but who but my loving Savior will stand by my side to the end? Only, always Jesus. A true and unwavering friend. Who but my loving Savior will stand by my side to the end? The Creator of the universe is my personal friend. Sometimes I find security in knowledge. I've got a degree in theology. That means I know all about the Bible and what it teaches. But what did God say about that knowledge? He said, I'm counting it all as garbage. I'm counting it all as loss. I used to consider it a gain, but now compared to Jesus Christ and what He does for me, I count it as garbage. Throw it away. I don't need it. My righteousness through the law is not going to earn me a thing. Can you get to heaven by what you know? Nothing wrong with knowledge, but knowledge is not what saves us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I love what Paul said, and I've read it to you before, and if you let me preach again, I'll probably read it to you again. But Paul says, I chose, or I decided, to know nothing while I was among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Paul was well educated. Paul was well experienced in Judaism, and at this point, even in Christianity. And yet he chose not to know all of that stuff, not to be bothered with all those statistics and facts. He said, all I need to know and all I choose to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you know that Jesus? I'm going to give you a little test here. I took a course when I was in college in Keene, Texas. This whole course was made up of memorizing Bible text. And in some cases, we'd get a test, and it would say Ephesians 2:13 or whatever, and we had to fill in the blank as to what that text said. In other places, it would give us the text, and we'd have to say, well, that's found in Philippians 4:12. I didn't do well in that class. It's the only class I took in college that I had difficulty passing. I generally had a pretty good memory, but for some reason I just couldn't match up those verses. There's a text in John 13, verse 35, that goes something like this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if... Now I'm going to finish the statement, and if I get it right, give me a vote of confidence. I want you to raise your hand. Okay, you get the picture? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you attend church regularly. Now don't tell me what it says. Just tell me if I'm right. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you pay tithe and give good offerings. By this shall all men know if you only eat vegetables. Well, what else is there? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you keep the seventh day Sabbath. How's that? I don't see any hands. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. That's it. That's the way people are going to know if you're a disciple. And we're all called to be disciples, aren't we? That's our mission. That's our purpose for existence, is to be a shining light to those around us by our example and by our words that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. He has disciplined us. That's where the word disciple comes from, is that discipline that only Jesus can give us. And the only way that people are going to recognize and acknowledge that we are disciples of Jesus Christ is if we have love one for another. That's really pretty simple, isn't it? You don't have to understand the 2300-day prophecy. You don't have to understand the mark of the beast. All that stuff has its place. I'm not diminishing the importance of Bible prophecy or Bible text and scriptures and facts. But that's not how we will become disciples of Jesus Christ. The only way that we are going to be disciples and acknowledged and recognized as such is if we have love one to another. Now let me ask you a question, and I don't want to see your hand. I don't want you to show your hand. I don't want you to answer out loud. But do you have the kind of love for others that Jesus has for you? Ask yourself that question and then give an honest answer. And let me tell you this. If you say, yes, I do, if I say, yes, I do, then we're both liars. None of us have that kind of love. The kind of love that Jesus has for us is totally unconditional. Some of you folks, I don't find it difficult to love at all. I'm not going to say which ones. Some people are a little bit more difficult to love, and some are just almost impossible. They are impossible through human love. The only way we can do it is if God entrusts us the power to have unconditional love. It's a rarity. We don't even come close for the most part. But we don't stop trying. You have love for one another? Show it. If you have love for one another, don't be afraid to say it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Love is the most important power in the world. It's so important that the Bible defines God as what? God is love. If God is love, and we claim to have God in our lives according to algebra, if X is equal to A and A is equal to B, then X is equal to Q. No, that's not how it goes. Something like that, though. You understand what I'm saying. If one is equal to the other, and that other is equal to another, then they're all equal. And if God is love, and if love is dwelling within us, then God is dwelling within us. And if we don't have love, what does the Bible say? God is not in us, because God is love. I asked for sunshine. God sent rain. I prayed for peace. He gave me pain. I wished to be respected and loved by all. Instead, I met rejection from a cold, high wall. I wanted to be used of God to show the gospel plan, but no one seemed to really care about their fellow man. I sought healing for the church to end the stress and woe. and tried my best to learn and teach the things that we need to know. How can the God who claims to heal be the same who allows such hurt? And how can we abandon that God to instead worship bricks and dirt? How can we expect or demand that God supply our needs until we each recognize for what the Spirit pleads? As I study the Word of God, it speaks of both hope and terror, sweet promise to the child of God, but destruction to those in error. Dare we trust our own righteousness to see us safely home? Or should we feel the need for a guide as through this life we roam? Who has gained such favor through lofty thought or deed that they can provide the water of life or all the hungry feed? Does anyone really understand the things God has in store? Do you feel rich and increased in goods, or blind and naked and poor? Who is it that you learn to trust, and where is your concern? Is it to serve the living God, or in that which will one day burn? Does your life rely on possessions or upon the Holy Spirit? Do you truly live by faith alone, or do you trust in human merit? It's not what we know, it's who we know. Father, dismiss us now from this place, but not from your presence. Walk with us every step of the way, and we thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name, amen.